All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome in to a new episode of Oilers Nation Radio. Tyler, Dan, Rick, Liam. No bagged milk today, though. So it's just the four amigos, I guess. Thoughts, Liam?
It is just the four of us here today.
Yep.
Ready to talk about the Edmonton Oilers and the variety of things that have happened over the last Monday, Tuesday, when? Oh wait, Monday. Hey, what Sunday, are you counting?
Saturday. We haven't done a show since Friday.
I'm counting down days. Four.
Why'd you go backwards?
There's been two games in that span. We got injury news.
That's
as
what
well.
I said. We're going to cover the things that have happened in the last 4 days.
Fair enough. All right. So then, let's get into things with our delicious debate. It is brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool, which you can play today at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Wendy's, home of the $5 Cinnabon pull apart and small coffee combo. Now that is a great choice. You can sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool today, and you can download the Wendy's app to take advantage of that fantastic $5 deal. There's not a lot of stuff you can get that's value for $5 these days.
I went to Wendy's last night after I went to my friend's beer league game.
You're a great friend.
I am a very good friend. And he was like, well, you can get the, what are they called? The Cinnabon?
Cinnabon pull apart.
He's like, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. I was like, you sure can. I got a JBC though.
That's a good choice.
As you should.
I got
that's
two.
A good choice. All right, let's get into things here. There is a bit to get to in terms of what happened today and the injury news around the Oilers, but let's start the pod off on a little bit more of a positive note with the delicious debate. The Oilers got two big wins over the weekend, one over Calgary, one over Colorado. The most important part, or the most impressive part of those two victories, was blank. Who wants to go first? Anyone got anything that really stands out to them?
Well, I'm just going to say right off the bat, it was beating the Colorado Avalanche after the effort they put forth against the Dallas Stars. They come out and they play a team that is right at that same level, and they were a different team coming out against Colorado versus Dallas.
Almost unrecognizable in some facets, like the intensity the Oilers brought, the way they dominated that game, got Colorado totally off their game. It was like the exact reverse of what we saw. Rick, what really impressed you with those two wins?
I like the full effort they gave in that game against Colorado. I didn't really take too much insight into the Dallas game. I just thought it was whatever it was. It was six minutes of blowing up that, you know, the third period is what it was. It was 5-0 going into it, I think it was. So I get what happened in the third period. The first period, I think we were the better team anyways. I think people just overreacted about the Dallas game. So it was nice to see them come out and put those naysayers back in their spot. And then after that, they came in and they were able to beat Calgary. So there was no letdown after the Colorado game, before the Vegas game. They came out. And I mean, I would have liked to see them beat Calgary a little bit easier, a little bit bigger margin, but a win is a win. They got the two wins and we move on, and we got a big game against Vegas tomorrow.
Yeah, big one against Vegas tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a bit. Liam, looking back on the weekend, a 6-2 win over the Avs, 4-2 win over the Calgary Flames. What impressed you the most?
Just to be a little bit different, I'll say the road power play because it's been kind of junk.
Yeah.
You go into Calgary, you get two power play goals, and that was the difference in the game. So I'll say the power play on Saturday was nice to see, but I agree with what Rick said. Like, I think the loss to Dallas was really blown out of proportion for what it was. And for them to bounce back and just basically shut everybody up against Colorado was awesome. I mean, they were down 2-1 in that game at 1.2. The second goal I didn't like at all, but they found a way and they got a lot of scoring from a lot of guys. So, massive win.
Power play goals at opportune times. Drysdale's 40th of the year came with 16 seconds left in the first, and then Bouchard's 17th on the year came halfway through the third period when the game was still tied. So again, the fact they were able to come through at a clutch moment, like, we've been Oilers fans for long enough, and fans of this iteration of the team know that when the power play's hot, it's a game changer. It can be a series changer come playoff time. So the fact it has been wildly inconsistent, wildly below average on the road this season, if it can get going on the road along with staying hot at home, that makes the Oilers that much more of a tougher outcome playoff time.
Agreed.
Is it that bad below? Is it that much below average?
No,
like league average, or is it that below Edmonton Oilers last 2-3 years average numbers?
It's actually above league average. It was like 12th in the league going into.
Yes, I mean, Calgary. That's what I was gonna say. Is that it's extremely frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
But it's because we've seen them get like 3 power plays and somehow score 4 power play goals type of a situation where they've been so dominant and has been for, you know, 2-3 years. And then last year, it was the record-setting one, correct?
Yeah.
Percentage-wise. Draisaitl was able to score a goal from, like, essentially anywhere. From the first roll behind the goal and still somehow pop it over his shoulder. Like, he couldn't miss last year. And the funny thing is, and he hasn't got, he's got like 12% of those this year. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, last year the one where he fixed the net, put it back on, and scored the goal? Or is that 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, it was last year.
I think it was last year.
Yeah, like, he could not screw up last year.
Yeah.
And then there's points this year where it's like, dude couldn't just offer his game check for a goal from the same spot. Yeah. It's been wildly frustrating from that perspective, but then when you do look back and you look at it based on the league average, you go, you know what? It must be frustrating to watch any other team's special teams.
I'll go up and say the most impressive part of it was the scoring they got from the different areas. They scored 10 goals in 2 games. They had 8 different goal scorers. Perry, McDavid, Ekholm, Kane, and then against Calgary, it was Nuge, Bouchard, Connor Brown, and Leon Draisaitl. So 3 of those goals came from the third line. 1 of them came from the fourth line. A couple came from the power play as well. Like, again, they're starting to maybe round into form offensively, and if that third line is actually something...
If that's the monkey off Kane's back?
5 games before the playoffs, if he's just now starting to get rolling, look out.
Mm-hmm. Start putting up the 7 fingers again.
Especially if they play LA. They just really need Kane to figure it out.
But I don't think he's been terrible. Yes, he's been doing a couple things here and there, and that's, you know, they... And I don't know what's worse, is people losing their mind about the Dallas game or people losing their mind about the interaction between him and Perry on the bench. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know where we're living right now that has to be that big of an issue. I mean, if I work in an industry that's relatively high stress at the moment, and you see those interactions all the time. Like, I don't know why everybody makes a big deal of it.
Podcasting?
Yeah, it's very between you and Tyler. Sometimes we have to get between you and Tyler. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty crazy sometimes.
I think that I like the fact that it happened, because everything after that has been exactly what I wanted from an interaction like that. You're going to have those moments, you know, that you have Corey Perry come out and say
it's accountability. It's, we don't have enough of that in this world.
It's all those things. You're going to have those moments as a team. And what happens right after that is the most important thing. It's the response. It's, you know, Kane could have blown up just at the same level as Perry, and we could have had a real fight and an argument between two guys. Kane just stood there and kind of smiled and took it. And it was what it was, and we moved on. And I don't think you're going to see any repercussions from that. That's what good teams have, is they have self-corrections and self-calculations.
They have standards.
Yeah.
Just and pure accountability.
That's what I love about Perry is, like, and we talked with Jason Demers today on Owen Every Day about it, and he was kind of like, you know, Connor and Leon, as much as we did see Leon do it to Kane, but they're not really the guys who are going to get up there and give, especially a player older than them, shit for not bringing up to standard or whatever, right?
Like, but a guy like Kane's not necessarily going to take that from them either. What have they done that Kane hasn't done? Corey Perry has jewelry on his finger. That means a lot in this world. And I tried, and I pushed that so much when Duncan Keith came here, and everybody told me I was this, that, and whatever. And then, you know, we kind of saw what he brought to the team when he left. And you kind of saw the what we're missing out. And you bring a guy like Corey Perry in, and that means something. Your resume means something. The fact you've won means something. And it, especially it does to other players. So I get it. You know, people in Twitter land don't understand it and don't appreciate it or what, but it actually means something to other players.
Well, and that's the thing. And it's Perry without a, it's like having a captaincy without a captaincy. You know, you've got guys on this team that have their captaincy letter because of their skill and because of what they bring to the team on the ice. And it's not so much what they do with the locker room afterwards. And that's where a guy like Perry comes in and helps out with that. So yeah, it's this team needs it. You need that kind of leadership, and you need that kind of just butt your heads for a minute and then win the hockey game still.
Yeah. And again, just to keep going back to this, because I thought the insight was good from a former player. Jason Demers was on those San Jose teams that went on very deep runs. And to quote him, he's never been motherfucked more on the bench than when he played on those teams. He said he never had a teammate yell at him more than Joe Thornton would yell at him in practice. He's like, if you miss a pass, you knew you were coming back to the bench on those Sharks teams with seven guys telling you that you need to be better. And those teams, I mean, they didn't win a Stanley Cup, but they went on long run after long run after long run. I think there's something about that accountability a little bit. And even for a guy like Kane, who, again, is playing a third line role for the most part right now, he hasn't done that a lot in his career. He's playing less minutes than he usually does. He's not playing with one of the two big guns down the middle with either McDavid or Draisaitl. So I think that's another thing where Kane's maybe going through a bit of an adjustment here. And if you have Kane on the third line with McLeod and Fogle, McLeod and Fogle aren't yelling at Evander Kane.
No.
Maybe that's why you need to keep him on the third line with a guy like Corey Perry, because if Kane starts slipping midway through a playoff game, I mean, shit, if Corey Perry's willing to do that end of the second period regular season against a Calgary team that's had their playoff hopes killed for the last 6 weeks, then you better believe he's going to be willing to do it game three against the LA Kings.
And I loved what he did it for. Like yeah. That play where Kane just kind of like flipped it towards the front of the net that really wasn't to anything, didn't get it to the front of the net, put it up the side of the net.
Play, yeah.
He gave it up instead of keeping control. Perry was behind the net calling for the puck.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do in the playoffs. You need to keep control of the puck, and you need to keep that offensive zone possession. And he coughed it up, which turns the puck the other way, and you can't have that in the playoffs. So the fact that we're getting ahead of it right now is a great thing.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. It definitely, I think you can kind of tell the people who are criticizing it. One, either they're just always looking for a way to jump down Evander Kane's throat, or two, haven't played sports or had any job that comes in like a relatively high stress environment, because like that stuff's gonna happen. So all right, there you go. That's the delicious debate. What impressed you the most about the Oilers two wins over the weekend? In the days since then, the Oilers haven't been in action. Obviously they're going through a quick little time off period before their schedule gets wild before the end of the season, but in action last night, Vancouver and Vegas. The Oilers, if you're keeping track of that top spot in the Pacific, now sit 5 points back of the Vancouver Canucks. But they do have two games in hand, and they do still have that head-to-head looming on Saturday. The game Wednesday, the game Saturday, those are massive. We'll get set for those in a moment, but let's wrap up our recap of the weekend with who delivered for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. This offer is valid for all of our listeners in Canada. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Who delivered for these games? We got Colorado. We got Calgary. Dan, I'll start with you at the end. Who delivered in those six periods of hockey?
Well, I feel like it's just a kind of a continuation of what we were just talking about, but I'm going to give it to Corey Perry. He led off the scoring against Colorado, and then he comes in and he gives you that leadership in Calgary where, you know, like Rick said, that's a game where they probably should have just beat the paint off of the Flames. They weren't doing that. They came out and they won that game solidly. I'm giving it to Corey Perry for his leadership with this team and leading us into the playoffs.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's good ASMR for the listeners.
Yeah. I will say, I'll just give it to Evander Kane. He ended his goalless drought. What was it, 19 games? Was it longer than that?
I think it's 21, but I don't know.
21 games.
Yeah.
and it went in off his like kneecap or whatever it did. But
that's how you need him. That's what they always say. Like the goal that gets you out of a slump is almost always going to be like a random bounce.
Yeah. So he had one the other day called off against St. Louis, and rightfully so, but good to see him get one. And then get another greasy one towards the end of the game too.
Yeah. That was an ugly one for Gorgiev too, when he just like sat there and let it hit his glove and then fall right into the slot. The Avs might have a goaltending problem.
But. Yeah, I was going to say, you think their fans are very confident about their goaltending situation? Because that game against us, he was, I don't know if he was able to, he dropped out a lot of rebounds.
Well, that goes back to, as well, I can't remember the team that they were playing. I think it might have been Columbus, but the Avs went down 4 goals, and then Gorgiev on that fourth goal fired the puck out of his net and took a 2 minute.
You brought this up.
Yeah, took a 2 minute goalie, or no, delay game.
Unsportsmanlike.
Penalty, or unsportsmanlike.
Because he hit it into the crowd.
And then they put in the rookie after that, and the team came back and battled back. And ever since then, they've been going platoon back and forth between him and the rookie. So, yeah, I love to see that little bit of seed of doubt, and then Vegas and the seed of doubt. Did you watch the Vegas game on Friday night?
Okay, wait, I just quickly, on your Gorgiev thing, yes. I just looked it up. So since he got yanked after taking that penalty, he's had 2 starts. He's allowed 12 goals.
Oh, yeah, boy.
It's a mess.
Well, how about, like, I know Tony D'Angelo is no angel by any means, but wasn't it D'Angelo and Gorgiev that went at it in the tunnel back in New York?
Like, that's the rumor. There's no video of it, but that's everything we've heard is that, there was, I don't know if it was it the tunnel? I heard the locker room.
They got into it.
They were the ones that got into it. D'Angelo got shipped out to
Carolina.
Philly.
He went to Philly, and he's back in Carolina.
Right. Okay. And then, Gorgiev, So I don't know. It's a fascinating kind of subline to watch as a team that we could be seeing in the playoffs.
Especially because remember in their run to the Cup final and when they swept the Oilers, Kemper was pretty good early on. I know his numbers took a dip, but then he had that injury. And what did they do against Edmonton when Kemper kind of hit the skids because of his injury? They threw in Francouz, and Francouz was lights out.
Yep. Catches with his other hand.
If Gorgiev falters, and he's at like he's below a 900, I think, on the season now. If Gorgiev falters, they got to go with Justice Anunin. Who?
Justice.
No justice for Anunin.
Exactly, Liam. So, yeah, I think there's a real conversation to be had about Colorado's goaltending. Rick, who delivered for you in those two games?
Well, you know what? I know Lehman really didn't believe in him, but I'm going to give it to Connor Brown for just getting another one there. It should be for his whole line. Those guys they're producing a little bit of offense. They're giving up really nothing defensively. They don't really make a lot of mistakes defensively. And like I said, when we get to the playoffs, the fact that those guys come out of a shift even.
Positive.
Even.
No, just like positive. Even is positive.
Even is positive, yeah. And it's like Derek Ryan said the other day. He had a bit of a surly answer, I think. I don't know what the question was, but he was talking about his line. He's like, you know, sometimes we're out there and we don't get scored on, we draw a penalty. That's good for us. And then all of a sudden we score a goal. Well, we're not out there. We don't get any of the flowers for this. Mm-hmm. But that was really a fourth line team assist type of a situation, right?
Yeah.
So these guys are out there. They're doing exactly what you need in the playoffs. They're producing a little bit and they're not getting scored on. That's exactly what you want out of your fourth line.
Well, and like, further to that point too, for me is, and people always they clamor about wanting goals from that bottom six, but like you saw it in that Calgary game, that bottom six is dogged on the forecheck.
That's the most important thing to me for a fourth line.
Like, to me, that as your skill guys, you watch your third and your fourth line guys just grinding it out on the forecheck. How does that not inspire you? How does that not get you fired up? I love that out of this team, and I love a Connor Brown
pick. I think if you were to give Connor and Leon some truth serum coming out of the playoffs the last couple of years, I think that they would probably sit there and tell you, like, we know that if we aren't producing offensively, we aren't winning. Mm-hmm. And I even think you talk about the boost it would give everyone with energy. I think when your bottom six is producing, I think that takes so much pressure off Connor and Leon to have to go out there and be perfect offensively. Like, they're not idiots. They know going into a big playoff game, or they've known going into big playoff games in the past, like, if we're not putting up 3-4 points, we're not winning. And on some nights against Vegas last year, they were putting up 3-4 points, and it still wasn't enough, right? And I think if you have a bottom six, and the bottom six over the last two games was great, if they're consistently producing, I think that allows Connor and Leon to just play a more relaxed style, and that's when they're more dangerous.
Yep.
Connor Brown, 4 goals in his last 11 games. It's a 29.8 goal pace over 82.
Hello.
Makes you think. Connor Brown.
Look at all these deadline additions we're getting right now.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Connor Brown, $1 million next year, Liam?
No.
I know you're in.
Since January 1st, Connor McDavid has 82 points in 42 games. I just looked that
up. How many goals?
18.
In how many games?
42.
Times 82. That's actually that's a bit better than Connor Brown's pace as of late.
Only by six.
Yeah, only by six goals.
That's actually bonkers.
That is crazy, that run he's been on.
1.95 points per game.
27 points in his last 13 games.
Speaking of McDavid, it was noted by Woz that Kucherov is dangerously close to that 100 assists mark as well.
And he plays season. Columbus tonight.
Like, how close is he?
He's at 103. Seven. Or he's at, seven away. Sorry. Seven.
Or is it 93?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has five
games.
Fine.
I
how far back are we from 1,000 points?
McDavid?
I think it's kind of cooked now. Connor McDavid is sitting at 980.
980, and he's 20 points in how many?
Six games.
Six games?
And he might not play tomorrow.
And he's day-to-day.
Yeah. Oh, that's over 3 points.
Yeah, it's probably a bit much. Probably a bit much. He was held pointless against Dallas, only had one against St. Louis.
Okay. Who has...
Liam is shielding his screen from us.
Okay, so since January 1st, we'll do a little... This or that, as Tyler likes to play.
Oh, yeah.
Who has more... Does Evan Bouchard have more goals or does Zach Hyman have more assists since January 1st?
Bouchard goals.
Bouchard goals,
I think, yeah.
Tied.
Wow.
Tricky.
Punked. Get punked.
We were both right, though.
They're both eight. How many goals does Zach Hyman have?
In that stretch?
Since Jan 1?
Since Jan 1, how many goals?
30?
30?
What's he at right now?
54. I think
like
52.
I'm gonna guess 22.
22.
He's at 52.
I think so.
And we're talking from January 1st.
Let me get those stats down for you, Rick. I'm just a January 1st guy.
On the year, Zach Hyman has 52.
Okay,
so it's 52 on the year, and we're talking from January 1st to today.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go with 23.
The answer is 31.
Ooh, I was so close.
Oh, eight assists. Okay, who has more goals? Bouchard have more assists than Hyman since that point.
Does he?
Bouchard have more assists than Hyman? Yes.
Yes.
Since January 1st.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Bouchard has like 60 some assists on
and
the year.
Hyman was going for the green jacket.
I'm going to guess.
Only four more.
Oh.
Yeah. In other words, yes.
Yes.
So Tyler and I were right.
There you go.
Hyman has been held without a goal in four straight.
What a bum.
Need him to get going.
Well, there you go. Another addition. This or that.
I think that's his coldest stretch this season, by the way.
0-4.
Four games. There was a three-game stretch in November, another three-game stretch in October, and that's it for Zach Hyman.
Do you think Toronto will take him back in the offseason for free?
Half retained, yeah. All right, let's keep moving on. Oh, I didn't get my who delivered. Matthias Ekholm.
Ah, yes.
That's a great pick. He absolutely murdered Mikko Rantanen twice.
Hold on. It wasn't that big of a hit. The result was there. But it was just two bodies crushing into each other. It was a big collision because they're two bodies. But it was not like a rock'em sock'em type of hit where you see a guy coming across the blue line and he's got his head down.
Those don't exist anymore, right?
He stood him up at the blue line and it wasn't even like a Cronwall hit. Like, I feel like a Cronwall hit was even more violent. I think he hit his head on the ice. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. Unless he's got like a couple, he's had a couple already and he's a little more susceptible. To me, that collision was a big collision, but it's two big bodies coming together. It wasn't like got steamrolled.
I just think that
hit a wall, but
I think you're right in saying that it's the fact that he may have been softened up even from the first one, but I just think that that was big, solid Matthias Ekholm momentum.
It was a solid hit, 100%, but it wasn't just like that
jarring.
It wasn't like bowled him over. It wasn't Scott Stevens catching someone coming across the blue line. But they stood up. I think he kind of knew he was there.
Rantanen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he knew he was coming. He didn't know where he was after that.
Well, that's fair.
He kept telling everybody, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's fair. But if you see him, he lands on his left shoulder and his head hits, and I think that's what did it.
Maybe. I just, like, that was impressive from Ekholm. Good call on that one, Ty.
And then he went on to continue dominating the game. Like, he scored the goal. He was jumping up in the rush, playing good defensively. The Oilers only gave up 24 shots to the Colorado Avalanche in that game. They almost doubled them in shots. That's a good offensive hockey team that they just dominated for a full 60.
Mm-hmm.
It was impressive, and I think Ekholm played a big part in it, no matter how hard you think his hit was, Rick.
I just don't think it was that. Like, we've seen a lot of big hits.
Or not impressive.
That one was, it was a, he ran into a wall, but I still don't think, like, Ekholm didn't even try and bowl him over. He just went in and hit him.
All right, let's keep cruising along with the show. Let's get to a couple of news notes, and this is going to be brought to you by our friends at Bet99. Connor McDavid. Listed as day-to-day. It's a lower body injury. They're saying he suffered it with about 5 minutes to go in the game against the Calgary Flames, so that is not ideal. He's questionable for tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. Are we worried, or do you think it's smart to just keep him out of the lineup?
One, I've seen reports of Holloway is called up on emergency. And I've, like, so first of all, in the Oilers release, they just said they called him up.
Yeah, was not.
But then I watched a couple other, and I think one would have just commented on the other. I think Matheson said he was brought up on emergency basis. So emergency basis would mean somebody's definitely hurt and he has to play. He has to play.
He was not recalled on an emergency basis.
Yeah, so I don't know where that came from. To say that. That's what I assumed. I'm not convinced Connor does not play tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm also not. Like, I think there's a chance he plays tomorrow.
He left the ice just fine, yep. As far as I understand.
He was on the bench laughing as Corey Perry was telling the Flames, you're bad.
Yeah, yeah. And we know it's Connor McDavid. He doesn't want to take time off. And it's Vegas.
And he's in the scoring race, and yeah. Top spot in the Pacific is still up. Like, these are not meaningless games with six to go.
I just think that Vegas's fall off this last weekend has really, I think, solidified the fact that the Oilers don't have to win this game against Vegas to prove anything at this point.
We want the first place in the division. Yes,
but I think that the Oilers can do that without Connor against Vegas right now. Vegas,
yeah, but you try and convince Connor to not go on the ice.
I agree. That ain't going to work. But I'm going to be able to convince him for this game versus the last game of the season. I think he's going to want to get out there and be out there.
I think he's going to play. Yes, and he's going to want to play all of them. And I believe it was Knobloch who said today that he's going to start coaching. I can't remember what he said, but essentially it was, if we're winning, guys will start seeing less ice time. So they're still going to be dressed, still be playing, but you get up by one, two. Now you'll be bringing back some of the minutes from number one line, and number four can get out there a little bit more.
Is there any part of you with tomorrow's game being against the Golden Knights that makes you more nervous to play Connor from the perspective of, wouldn't put it past a couple of those greasy Golden Knights players to go, oh, he's got a lower body injury, and we might be playing them round one. Play him hard tonight, guys. Not saying they're going to go out there and try to intentionally injure him, but like if you were playing,
sounds like it. What you're saying?
Well, no, but like if you were playing San Jose or Arizona, there's not a defenseman on the Yotes or Sharks who probably would even be paying enough attention at this point in the year to the headlines to be like, "Oh, Connor has a lower body injury," right? Like they're running out the clock. They're not going to sit there and take a hard run at Connor.
The defenseman in zone are looking at houses in Utah now.
But against Vegas, or if it was even LA or even a Vancouver, I think there would be some of those D-men who are like, I'm playing Connor McDavid hard to set the tone for the playoffs. And if he's got a lower body injury, I don't really care.
We're not even a calendar year away from Alex Petrangelo two-handing Draisaitl in a game where he knew he was going to be out the next game, likely with injury.
Yeah.
And so he took that suspension. So yes.
Now you just angered me even more about the Darnell Nurse fight thing.
Yes, I know.
And I mean, we're 2 years removed from the Calgary Flames following Leon Draisaitl around on the ice, whacking the leg where he had a high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. So I just, again, as much as you want to win this game against Vegas, there's a part of me, you let the doctors make their decision, and if Connor says he's good, you still play him. But I'm going to be sitting there wincing a little bit watching the game going, oh God, what is this going to be like?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past any of those guys.
You get up by a couple, though, and you start stapling them to the bench a bit.
Yeah, or maybe you even... Okay, who
brings... Ooh, power play time. Power play merchant. Here he comes.
Who brings you more value? 6 minutes of Derek Ryan or on your fourth line, or Sam Carrick on your fourth line, or just having Connor McDavid play on the power play?
McDavid power play.
So maybe that's...
Yeah.
But Carrick knows his job. Evander will know his job. Corey Perry will know his job.
And that's,
Darnell Nurse will understand his job, and so will Ekholm.
Vinny wouldn't take any shit.
He won't take any shit.
So the other side of this is Dylan Holloway's been recalled, not on an emergency basis. And Gregor talked about, at least on Twitter, talked about how, you know, down the stretch, if any guys have bumps or bruises, like they'll just sit out. They play a lot of hockey. Good to have an extra forward.
When does he arrive is the question.
He skated.
He skated today.
Oh, so they flew him yesterday.
Yeah, that's why it's not emergency basis.
Yeah, so they flew him up yesterday, and then they did the paper transaction today.
Yeah.
The lines at skate, according to Bob Stauffer: Nuge with Drysdale and Hyman, Kane with Henrique and Fogle, Holloway with McLeod and Perry, Carrick centering Janmark, and a rotation of Derek Ryan and Connor Brown on the right side. Do we agree with them splitting up that third line and even to an extent that second line? But that third line, Kane, McLeod, and Perry really worked. Do you agree with them splitting it up just to have Holloway start on the third line, or would you have done something
those different? Lines tell me that, like, if I want to read into those lines, I think they those will tell you that Connor's not playing tomorrow.
Agreed.
If because they filtered all the lines at this point, right? Yeah. The fourth line, I think, is the same, but the other three all got touched. Normally, if they're just bringing in a guy on practice to take a spot while he's whipping around, mm-hmm. they just plop him there, and they keep the other lines together.
And they probably wouldn't have called up Holloway.
I think you're calling him up right now anyways. I think whether Connor's hurt or not, he's getting called up this week, but, and I think you're most likely going to see Broberg sometime in the next short while as well.
Well, I would just speculate maybe next week would be the plan, would have been the original plan to bring up Holloway because you're in California. Save yourself a couple of bucks on a plane ticket.
I don't think that really factors into their decision.
Maybe found there's
you don't think they try and save a shilling here and there?
Not have on
you,
that.
You must not have, you don't have season tickets, so you haven't seen what they're charging for Christmas for the playoffs, have you?
It's true. I'll be going to, if anyone would like to take me to a playoff game for free, that'd be nice. Well, I'll be paying. Can't afford it.
Yeah, those the ticket prices, they got enough money to fly somebody up and down here, no problem. Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's what the plan would be. You play San Jose, it's an easy game to get him into. Mm-hmm. But now, obviously, he's up here. Like you said, Ricky, it would have been easy just to...
This gets him a couple more days of practice, though.
Sam Kerrigan on the first line for a practice.
This gets him a lot more practice time.
Yeah, it does, for sure. I'm glad he's here. I hope he does well, but they need to give him the chance to play well.
It would be great if he can cement himself as like an impact player and he doesn't come out of the lineup.
But he's never come into this situation playing as well as he was in the AHL before, right? Like every other time he's come back on the team, he's not been doing what he's coming off a hat trick. He's got something like 10 goals in 8 games or 8 and 10, something like that. He's playing very well right now. He's playing offensively very, very well right now. He's putting up points right now. He's never done that before coming into a couple games with the Oil.
I think this is how do I would this without being too dramatic?
This is his last opportunity to make the team?
No, his biggest moment in his career.
That's fair.
Because if he grabs the bull by the horns and shows he can be a trusted impact third line player, he's going to play in the playoffs.
Get three goals between here and the end of the year.
Player.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say. I think they missed his speed, and I think on some nights he was present that they were missing that speed, and I think that's why Ryan McLeod is now playing.
But he wasn't able to put anything in the net.
Exactly.
And that's what the frustrating thing was. His
speed was still visible, but now, like you said, Rick, he has 10 goals, and he scored 10 in 18, but it was a shorter... He didn't score in his first, like, however many games.
Yeah, and he had three the other game. And they're not, like, bad goals. Like, they're... He's
scoring
these goals. Are goals. These are goal scorer goals. That is something different.
I am on the train of he should have just been down there all year, probably. Looking back at it, like, the way they treated him, he should have just stayed down there. Similar to what they've done with Broberg. I think it's benefited him, but he's here now. And he has, what's he got, 6 games?
But he had the opportunity here. He just never... grabbed it to get more ice time.
Enough.
Yeah, he wasn't ready for it yet, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree. So having him down in Bakersfield is very beneficial.
Yeah.
Segment brought to you by Bet99, the number one online gaming experience in Canada, according to Ledger. Built by Canadians for Canadians, you can elevate your experience at Bet99 with same-game parlays, player props, and flash bet markets. You can also take advantage of their fast payouts, smooth transactions, and top-tier customer service, which... I can attest to, because I bet on the Blue Jays the other day, and I bet on a player to go over 1.5 bases, and my bet said that it was a push, even though it was a win. And I just quickly, they have a little chat thing, and I put in there, I was like, hey, I think my bet was settled incorrectly. And they just automatically were like, you're good. And they fixed it. That's kind of quality service you get at Bet99. A couple of bets to take a peek at. The Hart Trophy odds. Nathan MacKinnon has widened his lead, according to Bet99. -330 are his odds. Cooch at +380. McDavid now 9-1 to win the Hart Trophy. So he's slipping down the list a little bit there.
If Kucherov's starting to create space in the points race, how's MacKinnon getting closer to the Hart?
I think Kucherov will win.
Maybe you want to head to Bet99?
What did you say he was?
380.
Wow. That
almost 4-1.
That's kind of crazy, because I don't think it's maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it's without a doubt Nathan MacKinnon.
feels like the writers might be that way.
Yeah. It feels like it's Kucherov that's going to win it because he's the one who just won't kind of like go away.
Just flinging stuff around.
What are we doing?
Well, look how tight destroying
things here. I couldn't get my mouth close.
Yeah, we can get you some more slack there, big guy.
Just grabbing my thing.
All right. Eastern Conference playoff race. Those odds up at Bet99 as well. Pittsburgh Penguins, when we did this, I think a week or two ago, they were like plus 750 to make the playoffs. They're now plus 145. The Flyers are now minus 600 to miss. They were a seeming lock a couple of weeks ago. The Detroit Red Wings minus 140 to make it. The Washington Capitals are plus 250 to make it right now. That's actually an interesting one because if they win their game in hand, they're right back in the mix as well.
It is a very tight race over in the East.
It gets insane, actually, when you go take a look at it, and that's why the odds are starting to tighten up. Like Pittsburgh got a point last night. They're tied with Detroit, but Detroit has a game in hand.
Pittsburgh was supposed to be out of it a couple weeks ago, were they?
Yeah, and like they haven't even played that good. Like they're 6-1-3 in their last 10, which is like fine. But you would have thought Pittsburgh would have needed like a 9-1-0 run to get back in it. Everyone around them has just stunk for the last little bit.
It's basically just who wants to lose it the least.
Nobody wants to win it. Nobody wants to grab it right over there.
Islanders are looking like my favorite.
Oh, God. I hate the Islanders, though. They stink.
Sorry. It's just the way it's going
to
be.
Also, if you listened to last episode, you remember me saying the Oilers are winning 6 games in a row. Rick was riding with me.
Yeah, we're 2-for-2 right now.
2-for-2. So we're up to like 137.50,
yeah,
I think. Like
that. Yeah.
It's money line tomorrow. I was debating puck line against Calgary, but then I was like, Pickard got me a little nervous. I was like, it could be high scoring. Like, no, I'm just going to go normal. We would have been at like 160 if we would have gone puck line, but it's a money line bet.
I suggested that we might do puck line on the Colorado game.
Yeah, you did. Which, I mean, if we would have just done a 6-game heater of puck line bets. But no.
All right, we're going in it. Tomorrow's a big one.
Yeah, tomorrow's a big one because it should be pretty close to even money,
which means
it'll be 137.50 into what, like 260, 250 around there, which again, $50 for me on a game is like, you know, betting within my means. That's fine. 87.50 on the money line. The second one was like this one, okay, 137.
Still $50, baby.
Yeah, it's still, you just got to think of it as $50.
Still $50.
But if
yeah, let's talk it. But if what day today's, could you imagine if we sit here next Tuesday?
Right, still be in,
still be riding that high.
That's when I'll be shitting my pants. That's where it'll be a little tough to submit bet, if I'm being honest with you. Anyways, there you go. Shout out to our friends at Bet99. Let's step aside for a quick. Oh, wait, no, we don't want to step aside for a quick break. We'll do that around WAS, right?
First, are we not going to Matthew?
No, we're going to do 3v3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do
NationGear.ca. Get loaded up for the playoffs with our new playoff collection. Oil Up is back, so you can head to Nation Gear and check it out today. Head to the top of the screen, hit Brands, hit Oilers Nation. We got the new Play La Bamba tees and hoodies up there as well, and the playoff collection coming soon. So shout out to NationGear.ca. Dan, 3v3. Yeah, the Oil Up playoff shirt is on there. Let's go. It says playoffs on the back. It's got the orange and blue, the oil drip. That is nice.
Dripping.
Drip God. Dan, 3v3.
Can't believe you forgot my game, Liam. Pretty upset about that.
I didn't forget. No, Liam really did. wanted to take a break.
Tyler, you remembered it.
I'm so hungry.
It's okay. I'll forgive you, Liam. But we're going to be playing a game today, Liam. My game is back.
Yay.
And our opponent, next opponent is going to be the Vegas Golden Knights. So in that theme, I have set it up this way. We're going to be drafting teams. We're going to be picking 3 hotels from within the Vegas area. You're welcome to pick any hotel from within the Vegas area that you'd like. And then also, our bonus pick is going to be your favorite cap dump over the years. So our salary cap, any player that was involved in salary cap shenanigans, let's just say. So that can include anybody, anybody from Vegas, really, essentially, but we can go anywhere from there. I did the random order ahead of the show, and Liam, you get to go ahead and pick first, and then it'll be followed by Rick, myself, and Tyler.
So we each need 3 Vegas hotels.
Yes.
Okay.
Liam, your first pick of a Vegas area hotel and a bonus pick of a player that has circumvented the cap.
I'll go Caesar's Palace.
Liam grabs the Palace. Right off the bat.
Good pick.
Caesar's Palace. Rick, you are up next.
I'm going to go with the originator of the cap situation and Ilya Kovalchuk.
Ooh, that was a good pick.
Right off the board.
The GOAT of cap dumps, they call him.
What do you have, like a 67-year contract or
the
something?
The guy that made 68. The league step yeah. in and change the rules
yep.
and punish the New Jersey Devils for it. New Jersey Devils?
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
the Devils yep, for the Devils. It. Rick takes Ilya Kovalchuk. I am going to draft, I think it's my favorite hotel on the strip. I'm going to grab New York, New York. Mm. The hotel, we've stayed there a couple times for nation vacations. Tyler, you get to grab two picks for your 3v3 game.
I'll go with one I've stayed at a couple of times. If you're planning a trip to Vegas and you're going for hockey, Park MGM is the best spot to stay. You're right across the street from the rink. Only smoke-free casino on the strip Correct. As well. Really? So that one's good. And then I'll keep it in the family. Go MGM Grand for my next one because wow. my name is cool.
Right across the street. And yeah, you're staying on brand.
And you're right by Topgolf when you stay there. So that's a good reason.
There you go. That's Perfect. A good reason. Tyler has Park MGM and MGM Grand. I am going to grab what I consider to be the originator of the LTIR issues, Joffrey Leupold. Ooh. And Leupold Island, of course. Yeah. So
Robot Island.
Robot Island.
Well, I like to make it the Joffrey Leupold Island. So there we go. It's Joffrey Leupold's Island on my team. Rick, you get to draft one of your hotels.
Well, we had some fun there. I think we stayed there twice anyways. And it has a nice little casino. I think it's
the court
paid out quite well. I know you're a big fan of the plastic horses there.
I am.
And so we're just going back to the Excalibur.
Yes, Excalibur.
Good pick.
That is a classic.
I think they have the Popeyes upstairs yep. for 2 a.m, a little something to Great. Eat up there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Classic Vegas trope is the Excalibur Castle from the 90s.
It was also, it's good that it's a little bit away from everything. Yes. It helps to keep the steps going.
That's true.
Eat those steps.
Get your steps in. Liam, you have two picks off the board. You have not yet picked your salary.
I have one later. Pick.
I know, but you got two picks to do here.
Oh, left on the board.
Yeah, sorry, I guess.
I'll go with the Flamingo.
The Flamingo.
Although I was a little disappointed the last time I was in Vegas. Rick and I went to the Flamingo and there was no birds.
No, he was upset.
So a little bit of bird flu going around.
Back there then. Was.
Yeah, too bad. Fair enough. So the Flamingo, shout out, what are they called? The Osborne family?
Yes.
Yeah. Osmond?
Osborne? Two.
Well, those are two different families.
What are you saying? The owner of them?
No, the guys who perform in there.
Danny Osmond.
And yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the Osmonds.
The Osmonds. Shout out Osmonds.
Donnie and
Marie.
There we go.
Donnie and Marie.
All right. my second. Well, for a cap dump, is Rick DiPietro a cap dump?
No.
No, he just got bought out.
He wasn't really.
Is that it. Well, Ilya Kovalchuk was bought out.
You know, he got
salary cap shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was shenanigans. There was no shenanigans with DiPietro. His contract was just on their books forever.
Yeah, I think it's still good. He's still like Bobby, is? I think yes. it's, yeah, he's like Bobby Bonilla is still getting
Charlie
paid.
Charlie Wang has to pay that out.
And he's dead.
Yes. The estate of Charlie Wang yeah. pays it out.
Those checks aren't coming as quickly anymore.
cap dump then. Golly Wally. What about James Don't. Neal?
Sure. Let's do it.
That is a cap dump, right?
It was.
Sorry. Yep. Sure.
Oh, it's a hard one.
The trade is one for one. James Neal from Milan Lucic.
What did you hum at?
Real steal. Rick, he was just hoping you weren't going to take his pick off the board.
That's who's up now?
Rick is up next with his pick of a hotel.
We got
the Who went back to back there?
Liam did.
Oh.
You just did James Neal in the Flamingo Hotel?
The whole point of sports is to what?
Win.
Ah.
Oh.
Ah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Also, great hotel. Call Liam on knowing that one.
Yeah, that was...
Well, I said have fun.
I'm have going fun. For my pick of hotels. I'm going to grab Treasure Island because it used to have a pirate ship battle in front of it, and I loved the pirate ship battle.
They stopped doing that, right?
They did. They changed it into first it became the Battle of the Sirens, where women were fighting against men, and then that was just too weird, and so they got rid of it altogether.
Why was that weird?
Back in the yeah, why was it weird?
It's just a weird play.
Back in the 90s at Oilers home games, they used to give away a trip to Vegas in the programs every single game.
Nice.
Treasure Island was the hotel. How do I know? Because we won once.
You won it once.
Wow.
December 18th, we won the trip to Vegas. December 27th, we won the 50-50.
Wow. And then you took the 50-50 money and went to Vegas.
It was only like $4,000 back then. It was a full house against Flyers for the 50-50, and it was the exact opposite for Vegas, and that was against Ottawa. I think it was like 96.
How old did you have been?
15.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I beat the Simpsons game.
Nice.
Son of a gun.
The arcade one?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Who's up?
It's you, Tyler. Back to back.
Okay, did someone take Bellagio?
Nobody's grabbed Bellagio.
That's a first round pick I just got in the third round.
Huge.
And so is this one. This is a first round pick I'm getting in the fourth round. Marian Hossa. How did we all just, they were like, he's allergic to his equipment now. And everyone was kind of like, okay. That's true. Then they trade him to Arizona.
Ah, oh, damn it. About that. Shea Weber.
I'm going to go ahead and pick first. And I'm going to grab, out of the hotels, I guess I'm going to grab the Paris Hotel. I'm going to grab the Eiffel Tower. My wife and I had our wedding dinner there. So the Paris Hotel is off the board. Rick, your final hotel pick.
Well, I like to get off the strip a little bit. Head on over to Fremont.
Nah.
We're going to go with the D.
The D Hotel. There you go. I was wondering if anybody was going to head down to Fremont Street. And Liam, you get to finish us off with your final Vegas hotel, which you are frantically Googling right now.
Well, this place looks sick. It's actually
a pretty good pick.
Yeah. I've never seen this one before.
Venetian?
Venetian.
Don't help him.
Damn it.
The Venetian. Where is that on the strip?
That is right across from the Mirage and Treasure Island, that end of the strip.
Okay, let me just go on maps.
What could I have told you to help you with that then? I told you the hotels that are right across the street.
Is it to the left or the right?
It's on the right side of the
street. Which way you're facing.
It's down from the Paris. Sure.
Oh, just further. Next to the Flamingo.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I just like this area. Caesar's Palace, Flamingo.
And that's the end of Dan's 3v3.
Pavel Datsyuk going undrafted is criminal.
Well, I got Shea Weber.
I took Joffrey Lupo.
Can you put? Did
Are you changing your?
Yeah,
changing
I'd like to read one.
Liam's got to swap it.
Okay.
Okay. Good stuff. All right, we're gonna go get to Waz, and can you clear this up for me?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, let's get into it. Can you clear this up for me? Brought to you by Snow Valley Aerial Park and the Rainbow Valley Campground. The Aerial Park gives you family fun all summer long. It gets opened on May 31st. I was there the other day. I checked it out with my eyes, Liam. We're going to have a blast when that thing is fired up and we go for our date.
Why did you say it like that?
We can also head out to the Rainbow Valley Campground. Head to rainbow-valley.com to check out the online bookings. That gets opened up on May 15th. rainbow-valley.com. Waz.
Clear things up.
That was a great ad read, by the way.
Thanks.
All right. First up here for me. Clear this up for me. Are we witnessing one of the best regular seasons in a while in the NHL? There's many races for, like, the President's Trophy, individual numbers that haven't been seen since the 90s. I mean, Kucherov and McDavid might actually both get 100 assists, which I think is crazy.
Sure. Like, I mean, it's one of those things. You can create whatever narrative you want and kind of take the enjoyment out of it. I don't think that there's anything wrong with a season that had Rick Nash scoring, 70 points that year. Like, it's just a different line if each season. And I've enjoyed this season thoroughly for all the storylines that have been created out of it. Not the least is Matt Rempe. But yes, I'm enjoying this season more than I think I have in previous years. The storylines are fun.
I think there's a lot of storylines going on. There's not only the teams trying to get in and where they're finishing, especially in the East right now, but you have a lot of races when it comes down to individual awards as well. So right now, I think in terms of that, I do think it's one of the more exciting finishes we've had in a while.
Since the year 2000, the five most productive individual seasons, three of them are from this year. Since the year 2000, since the last 24 years of the NHL, five most productive years, three of them are this year. So I think it's without a doubt, yes, the skill is on another level this year. Offense is sexy. Offense is fun. That's on another level this year. I mean, maybe the playoff race in the West could have been better, but in the East, you have a great playoff race. So
we don't need any more drama in the West. We're good.
Yeah, but I mean, it couldn't have not involved the Oilers. It could have been like Vegas fighting for a playoff spot. That would have been
fun. Well, that's fine. Yeah, as long as no one touches us.
All right.
I find the President's Trophy to be a little interesting. I mean, last year, Bruins won it March 30th. And now we still have no idea who's really going to win it. It's like, does anyone really want it?
But, yeah. But the Bruins also put up a career year last year in the regular season.
Rangers up 3 points on the field right now with four games to go. They're pretty close to clinching.
All right, next up here is clear this up for me. How important is it for the Oilers to win the division title?
If I were to go scale of 1 to 10, I'd say like 6.5. It might give you an easier matchup. It might not, but it would give you home ice guaranteed for the first two rounds of the playoffs. So there's that.
Yeah.
I think it's something to hang your hat on. I think it's an individual thing. I think the team can sit there and feel very confident or very proud of themselves. But in terms of the team they're going to play, whether it be Vegas, LA, or Nashville, I think those are pretty much the three teams we're looking at right now. I don't think there's a great deal that separates those. So in terms of who we're playing, I don't think there's a massive difference there.
Yeah, I agree with Rick. I don't think there's a huge discrepancy between each team. I think
for the arena, cool. It'll be good. This is another banner.
Yeah.
It's not the banner you want, but it's something you need, a team award.
Yeah.
So I'll say 5 out of 10.
I would say I want it to be more, but I think for this team, it doesn't matter.
But want it to be more because that's like a thing from within.
Yes.
We've sat there. We went through the decade of darkness. We were out of the playoffs by, November 1st sometimes.
Yep. And we were behind always Vegas told, by what,
hey, even though you've got Connor, you've got Leon, you still can't win. Like right now, I think this gives, the fans a bit of a fuck you to everybody else. And,
100%.
Everybody's like, oh, you guys are out of it. You guys are terrible because we're 2-13 and whatever. And then, and I know everybody in this room did not agree with me. And I said, we'd win the frickin' the division and the cup and, we win the division. Well,
I've been on board with this team being okay the whole time. I'm just going to go out and say it this whole year. I've been riding the wave, trying to stay right in the middle, but
not me. I panicked.
All right. And then I guess on the flip side of that, is it concerning that the Oilers have actually never really dominated their division? Like they haven't been like the dragon of their conference, like the Avs or the Dallas Stars.
I mean, that has to come with playoff success, right? Like, again, I don't think it's concerning because it hasn't been earned. I think teams are still scared to play Connor McDavid in a playoff series, but I don't know. You're not viewed as that till you start winning.
You have
a dominant regular season.
It's very rare that you see the bylines that came out of that year when, like Daryl Sutter was saying, you're just basically going to get swept by the Colorado Avalanche. You don't have those superpower teams. Yes, you've got teams that are at that top echelon, but I think that this year has shown that there's like 7 or 8 teams that are up there.
Look what happened to that team last year who had the best regular season ever.
Yeah, I know it doesn't really matter come playoff time. I just find it interesting. The Oilers have never really been in the President's Trophy conversation with all like the contender status and label. I don't know if does it really matter in the end.
Florida snuck in as the 8th seed last year.
2006 says no.
I watched me and my buddies the other night. You just throw something on the TV when you have people over as background noise. Throw on the whole Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'em from that year where he goes through the 2006 Cup run.
Oh shit!
Electric. Electric.
Okay. You got to turn it off right before the end of it, though.
Whole thing's on YouTube.
You got to turn it off right to like 4 minutes to go. Turn it off. Just break your computer.
Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Thanks, Waz. You're welcome. Here's a fun little fact as Waz exits the room. The gap, since Chris Knobloch took
over. Hold on a second here. I'd just like to mention the fact that Waz, I think I saw some throwing or some sort of video. How did Lehman not spring that up?
Because I am being a gentleman about it. Unlike someone who wasn't, like Waz.
I think the saying they use is ball don't lie.
Yeah, ball don't lie.
I know how good I am at that game. I know Waz is no better at that game.
The clock goes down too fast. That's what gets in your head. If you watch that thing, that thing's dropping like
falling. I don't watch the clock. I focus on my targets.
So anyways, since Chris Knobloch took over, the Edmonton Oilers have a league best 730 points percentage.
What's second place?
690.
Ooh.
That gap of what would be 0.04 mm-hmm. there is not another gap that big between two spots in the standings until you get all the way down to the gap between Columbus and Chicago at 29th, 30th, which means the Oilers are further away from second place in the NHL on that span than any other gap that exists until 29th, 30th. Like, that's crazy.
And it's that's what confuses me the most. Like, we can't sit here and be proud of this or enjoy this. People will still sit there and, like, a four-day break of no hockey in day three, they're like, not going to win with this player. Yep. Well, that player's been a very big part of this team during that whole run right there that you just mentioned, and they've been just fine.
Yeah, I heard Calgary radio go on about a half an hour rant yesterday, a tirade about how the Oilers this team is not going to win.
Calgary radio?
Well, because the Edmonton subreddit picked it up, and so I was just going to listen out of curiosity. Mr. Brett Cron had about 20 minutes of. Oh, you may have heard of him. He was an AHL.
Ninth overall pick in the draft 1 year.
Yeah. I think Wikipedia says he was the biggest NHL draft bust of all time. It's debatable. Like it's up there. Like, it's on Wikipedia. You got to believe it because everybody can edit that. but anyways, yeah, no, it's fascinating to listen to the people. Just try to come up with a new reason as to why the Oilers aren't going to win the cup and they're not going to do it this year. They haven't done it previous years. So,
man, I hope we win that cup because I have. A lot of years where the pent-up bullshit they yell at people. I'm just going to stand at the top of the hill over here and start yelling things.
You'll be a deranged.
Oh, yeah. Like, more than right now.
Well, it's when people start talking about, like, they need power plays in the playoffs and we need to have better defense in the playoffs. That tells me that you haven't been watching this team recently.
Thank you.
Oh, God. I hate the whole playoff argument. Like, that is one of those things that people just randomly latch onto because it fits their narrative.
It's comfortable.
And it's not true at all.
Especially this year.
To be fair, though, I mean, it is Calgary radio, so they're not used to the playoffs.
And the IQ level is...
No, there's nothing... No. We can be way better up here. We're up higher. And I can tell you, you know, I'm sure, Tyler, you can attest to this being in radio... I don't think that there's ever been a time in our Edmonton area airwaves where we've dedicated 25 minutes to the Calgary Flames. And
We never speak about Calgary like that. But now, so I don't listen to Calgary, but I've heard a lot of people, they just, all the time, all they do down there is rip on us up here.
Yep.
And we don't give two shits about them. Until January, it's like BOA time or something like that.
Since January 1st, the Oilers have allowed 2.55 goals against per game, which is the fourth best in the NHL.
That's solid. I thought they didn't have good enough goaltending, though.
The goaltending is not good enough. And also,
needs to be better defensively.
The funny thing about it is the penalty kill has not been that good. It's been, like, very average, 79%.
And the power play hasn't been elite either.
28%.
Well, if the PK's not been great and your PP's not been great.
Well, actually, we should say again, the power play's not been up to its standard. Fair. It's still one of the best in the NHL.
Well, that tells me our 5-on-5 game must be pretty good.
What's net PK percentage mean?
I don't know. I always see that stat. I have no idea.
Because that is a couple of percent. That is about 2% higher, whatever that means. Maybe that's like, I don't know.
No idea.
Could be anything.
Goals for per 60 at 5-on-5 this year. Edmonton is fifth. Goals against per 60 at 5-on-5 this year. Edmonton is eighth. And that is including their struggles.
Oh, but I don't care about the regular season, Tyler. Only in the playoffs.
Since the 2021-22 season, in the regular season, the Oilers have averaged 3.1 power play opportunities per game. In the playoffs since then, it's 3.18. They average more power play time in the playoffs than in the regular season.
Don't let facts get in front of your good narratives.
They've also allowed two shorthanded goals against in the playoffs. It was just on the screen, so I read it. I don't know why.
The Oilers have allowed the eighth fewest shots in the NHL, too, since January 1st.
That's a good number.
That seems like a good
thing. And have the third most in a game. The Flyers second. Wow, that is not good for the Flyers. They have, since January 1st, the Flyers are averaging 34 shots a game, and only averaging 26 against, but their goals against is 3.52, which is fifth worst in the NHL.
Well, how about Torts coming out yesterday and just straight up admitting that everything has been off the rails since Carter Hart left the team? And also acknowledge the fact that they knew that was in the summer.
Yeah. Like, that's I mean, that aside from whatever happened there, like, when you take a player of that importance out of...
Of course.
Good line.
And don't let him come back in, we're going to have issues.
And we're a more established team than they are right now. They're still trying to find their way, a lot of youth and whatnot, right? So that... I've
That's tough for those guys.
Just quickly, since January 1st, those 5-on-5 numbers, Oilers have the 6th best offense in the league, 2.83 goals scored per 60, goals against per 60. The Oilers 5th best in the NHL at 2.01.
They really like their new calendars, don't they?
Yeah. It usually is how it goes for the Oil. All right, tomorrow night, Oilers taking on the Golden Knights. Potentially no Connor McDavid in the lineup, and Vegas will have Tomas Hertl in the lineup. He made his debut last night, but they ultimately lost to the Vancouver Canucks.
After being up 2-0.
After being up 2-0 and up with 7 minutes to go before giving up back-to-back goals in the final 7 minutes and losing 4-3. So not ideal. But luckily for the Oilers, that game didn't go to overtime. That would have been kind of worst-case scenario all around. Give me a score prediction and give me something you'd like to see happen tomorrow. It can just be anything.
5-2 Edmonton, and I want to see a full 60-minute game, much like they did against Colorado.
Liam? I'll say 4-2 with an empty net, and I would like to see Leon Draisaitl lead the way if McDavid isn't playing.
Dan?
I'm going to say 6-4 Oilers win. I would like to see the Oilers just throw everything at the net because it seems like everything is going in against Vegas right now.
Yeah, Vegas has given up a lot of goals. I'm going to say 5-3 Edmonton Oilers. One thing I'd like to see is Dylan Holloway come through and have a big performance in his first game back up from Baco if he does indeed get into the lineup. Big shout out to Wendy's, DoorDash, Nation Gear, Bet99. The Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground, and our friends over at Oodle Noodle. Leave us a review, and you could win yourself some free Oodle Noodle. That is a wrap on today's edition of Oilers Nation Radio. Back on Friday.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.